Over the last couple of weeks, we've all seen a lot of problems in the culture, a lot of problems in the nation. We've had a pandemic, we've had economic problems, and we don't get to see each other very often. About 5 weeks ago, I started a series of lessons in the bulletin on the power of God. And it's been very helpful to me, and I wanted to share some of those things with you this morning. And if you have an opportunity, I think that you would really enjoy and appreciate some of the thoughts. When I do a bulletin article, it usually takes between 6 and 8 hours because I just start with a blank piece of paper. And I try not to draw too much from other material because I want to figure this out all over again as if I've never studied it before. That gives me an opportunity to grow, and it gives me an opportunity to offer fresh insights into things that we should understand and appreciate, and often we do, but I saw some things this time through that I hadn't really noticed before, and I wanted to share a little bit of them with you. The truth is that perfect peace is here. Now, we may or may not know how to access it. We may or may not know how to keep all of our anxieties and all of our cares and concerns so completely overcome that they don't even bother us at all. I really believe that that's what a mature Christian, if he has studied this subject and if he has fully reached its depths, this is the attitude we're going to come away with. We're just not going to worry anymore. Like Jesus said, be not anxious about your life. And yet, during times like these, we get a lot of stresses and a lot of strains. Things that we never really thought about before are now upon us. And we all have to think carefully about whether or not this verse is true for us. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. I wondered, and so I looked it up in the Hebrew to try to understand why did they put Yah and the Lord right next to each other. And the reason for that is that the word Lord there is Jehovah. And so it's actually a doubling of the Yahweh. So Yah and Yahweh are right next to each other. And this was the best way. And I thought it was a good way. Because this was the name that God revealed himself to Moses. This is the name I am that I am, denoting eternal, unchanging, everlasting existence and power. And so in Yahweh, in the Lord, is everlasting strength. Now, if we understand that, if we understand that behind us is God, this is what David understood when he stood before Goliath. It doesn't appear he had any fear at all. It doesn't appear he had any anxiety at all. God had already helped him to kill a bear, to kill a lion, and he knew from history of the Jewish people, the 10 plagues, and he also knew from the material creation that God has everlasting power. And so, though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't feel any fear. Why was there no fear? Because God had his back. God was in control, and God had given him this perfect peace because for David, for Moses, for Joshua and Caleb, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, always the same. Their mind was focused on him, not in their own power, not in their own problems or dilemmas, but simply realizing that God is in control. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to get what we want. But as David pointed out in his prayer, we will always get what we need. And so as we ponder this verse, we see perfect peace manifested, as I said a moment ago, in all of God's servants. Remember when Abraham was standing on the earth, God had told him, you're going to have a son next year. And he never wavered, didn't look at himself, didn't look at the world around him, didn't look at Sarah. He focused on God, and he gave God the glory. Now, those who are so convinced of the omnipotent power of God that they can't be afraid. Now, the question that I want to lay out at the beginning of this lesson is whether or not we're there yet, or whether or not we could use some bolstering or some strengthening. Do we go to sleep at night with absolutely no fear, no concern? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but it doesn't matter, because God's in control. And if God has a will, I'm for it. And whatever comes, He will give us the strength to get through it. He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we believe that, we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I might extend that out. What can man? What can a pandemic? What can an economic downturn? What can a war? Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, excuse me, in Christ Jesus. And so we go to sleep at night. We don't lie awake worrying. We don't worry during the day. We have total confidence. God's in control. And if we need a spanking, we're going to get it. And we welcome it. If we are going to have serious problems, that's okay. Because God has always allowed His people to grow through those things. And so, is this your core conviction? Can you, with all honesty and integrity, say, the Lord is my helper, I'm never afraid. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. Though my world crumbles around me, or my nation crumbles around me, or life starts to tumble, not afraid. None of God's people, as you go through the litany of the great cloud of witnesses, there's one constant. No matter what it was, a lion's den, a fiery furnace on the one hand, chains being sawn asunder, it didn't matter. God's people had total confidence in God. Now, there's a very important transition between power and trust. And I think that's where the problem for many people lie. They don't live their life witnessing God's power in the material creation. They don't live their life witnessing God's power in the miraculous interventions or supernatural interventions or divine interventions that God has been doing since the beginning. They are not taking the miracles and supernatural events of what Jesus did while He was here, and we're not taking that to heart. That's what is the foundation. And we see it every day. You can't get up in the morning without hearing the birds. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Jesus said, look at the birds. Don't be anxious. Look at the birds. Don't be anxious. Look at the lilies. Don't be anxious. Look at the grass. If you can take the lilies, the grass, and the birds and make the application, you'll never be anxious again. A lot of us don't even look at the birds. We don't even contemplate the flowers or the grass. We don't make the application. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but faith also comes by witnessing the omnipotent power of God in the most mundane and everyday activities, and that's what makes the difference. And so power has been in existence since creation. Let's look at this from a physical perspective just for a moment. Oil, natural gas, electricity, and nuclear power have been here since the creation. And yet, in recorded history, we see no indication that man understood, trusted, or used them until just the last few centuries. So literally for millennia, at least from the flood, we don't know what happened before the flood. They might have used electricity, natural gas. We just don't know what they did back then. Doesn't really matter because there's no history. But since recorded history, we see that man has seen lightning but never trusted it. And he's seen the sun burning and never made any application that maybe we could do that. And the reason is that although God had commanded us to subdue and use it, and yet power beyond belief to make our life easy and give confidence, but nobody knew. God just let them go. So for thousands of years, they didn't have a light switch. When I walk into my house, I don't have a flashlight. I have total confidence. When I flip that switch, the light's going to go on. Most of us don't have any wood because we're not worried about cold. We have a heater that is working for us. We have total confidence because of our appliances, because of our electronics, because of our ability to use this. But if we just dial it back 200 years, nobody had that. And there's a very important thing that we need to learn from that. Now, let's talk just a minute about power. Now, I'm not interested in electricity or natural gas. I'm interested in the power of God. But if we don't understand the nature of power, then we'll never grasp the peace, the comfort, the security, the confidence, the boldness that David, Joshua and Caleb, Moses, they just weren't afraid. They had total confidence. God was going to be there when they needed him. So the first thing we have to do is see that the power exists. Now I see the power of God. You see the power of God. We see the power of electricity and the lightning. But then we have to learn how to subdue and take dominion by accessing and channeling it. Just because I see electricity and lightning doesn't mean that that's going to give me any confidence. Matter of fact, lightning is fearful. And much of the power of God is the same. And we don't get any trust, we don't get any confidence, we don't get any boldness until each individual becomes proficient and competent in using them. Now, number three, we don't have to worry about. God's already created the tools and the methods and the means by which the power will bring confidence and assurance. Now, in the physical realm, projects we would never individually feel we could do are easy. Totally confident. I don't hire people to do most of the things that need to be done. I've got the tools, got the know-how, got confidence. Some people in this room, if they saw a certain problem in their home, wouldn't have any confidence because they wouldn't know how to deal with it. That's the difference in the spiritual realm and the material realm. There are people who know how to use the power. They know how to use the tools. They know how to get the job done. And even though it's fearful for some people, for these people, there's nothing at all. Well, that's what Nadab and Abihu didn't have, but it's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did have. They had a complete understanding of the power of God. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'll just throw it up real quickly, but we understand how electricity was developed and how it has become such a vital part of our life that we don't even think about it anymore. We push the switch, we expect something to happen. Well, the same thing should be true in the material realm. How did I get two of those? Now, Jesus wants us to make a very critical application. And until we make it, until we understand the purpose for the material creation, if we're only drawing our faith from the Word, we're missing the eternal or everlasting power and divine nature of God, because it's not there. You know, sometimes people say, well, let's go to the Bible to prove the existence of God. It's not there. The existence of God is so complete in the material creation that God says, when all the people in the world stand before me, no one will have an excuse. There is no excuse for walking through this world blind. Now, I don't know about you. I knew there was a God long before anyone ever talked to me about the Bible. I could see them in the things that are made. When the gospel finally came to me, no one had to prove to me that God was a God of power and majesty and glory. I could see it. And you could see it. Or you learned it after, but without it, we are severely handicapped. We are drawing our most important aspects of the power of God from the birds, the grass, the lilies, and the things that are made. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Do not worry about your life. Look at the birds. That's a command, by the way, brethren. This is not a suggestion that the Lord is giving to us here. He expects us to do it. We need to look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap. Your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, the power of God, the omnipotent power of God, the everlasting power of God is clearly seen, Paul says, through the things that are made. Jesus says, let's just turn it from global into one specific thing. What God did on the fifth day of creation, he created the birds. And Jesus says, if you look at those birds, you won't worry about your life anymore. Now, I don't know if we've done it or not. Are you looking at the birds? Is what Jesus said here a part of how we live our lives? Every time we hear a bird chirping, more strength, more conviction, more realization that the power of God is still working? Consider the lilies of the field. Again, a command in the imperative mode. If God clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. But Lord, why would it be little faith if I don't notice the birds, the grass, and the lilies? And yet Jesus says, if you can't make this application, you've got a small faith. We need to take the time to look around. You know, we get so caught up in the technology and the aspects of our lives that we never look up. We don't see the stars. We don't look at the birds. We don't consider the lilies or the grass of the field. And because of that, we don't have a big faith. Our faith isn't big enough. Now, Jesus said, if you have a faith, what does he say? Mustard seed, one of the tiniest. If you just had enough faith like mustard seed, that's what Abraham had. That's what Moses had. Do we have it? Are we looking at these things? If we don't have it, if we lay awake at night worrying, or we feel concerned, or we feel like our whole life is caving in because of what's happening in the world today, Jesus is going to say, you have a little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Now, what Jesus does here is very critical, and we need to take time to think about it, because it is the undergirding of God's power that he's revealing to us here. Now, Paul deals with it on a global nature in Romans 1 when he says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's what Jesus did with the birds. That's what he did with the grass. That's what he did with the flowers. Even his everlasting power and divine nature. And there's no excuse except a small faith. So if we want to really have the confidence and the boldness of the greatest servants of God in the scriptures, here's the way to do it. Just start becoming aware. All we have to do is look at the birds. Now, I don't mean just looking at the birds. I mean making the application. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Won't he feed you? His invisible attributes, his everlasting power. That's the term that Isaiah used when he said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." And then he says, "Trust in the Lord, Yah the Lord, who has everlasting power." It is so clearly visible that there's no excuse. And as I say, most of us here in the lesson this morning, our hearts are vibrating. We're making melody. We've done this. And it's giving us this confidence. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. I've gone through my life knowing this, but I've never seen it as clearly as I have in the last few weeks as I've gone through all the scriptures, because we've only touched a few of them. The things that are made, that's where his everlasting power and divine nature are clearly revealed. And that's where we can draw most of our confidence if we look at things, if we see them clearly. The birds, lilies, and grass all clearly reveal his everlasting power, and Jesus commanded us to use them to be bold, to use them to feel confidence, to use them not to worry or be anxious about our life, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will put on, or our lives as a whole. If the birds, lilies, and grass reveal this, what about electricity? Electricity is one of the things that is made. And watching what power God put in it and what use we can make of it is a perfect parable of the power of God. And so, these things that are made reveal his power. So, here's a critical point. You know, Jesus talks about the care of the world, the desire for riches and other things leads some of God's people to become unfruitful. What I'm trying to do with this sermon is help us understand, every time you flip on the light switch, you should be marveling at the power of God and grateful to God that he created electricity and that he created the elements that allow us to use them. Every time we use an appliance, every time we use an electronic, every time we get in our car to drive, we should be seeing and praising and glorifying God because of his power. They're not just things. Just like the birds are not just things, the grass is not just a thing. And these things that we have created have been created because we are made in the image and likeness of God, and they have been created because God in his love and mercy put them here. And they shouldn't lead us away. We should be glorifying him. And so it's just a similar application. Jesus said, look at the birds. I'm saying, look at your appliances. Look at every time you enjoy the power that God has placed into the material creation. Just take it one more step. And see the power of God and realize that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The problem is, brethren, sometimes we don't think big enough. We think too small. We'll never get to where David was because we're not letting all of this sink in. We're not letting all of these things that are all around us that were placed there so we could see God's everlasting power and divinity and understand that he loves us and this was all done for us. And therefore, we don't have anything to be concerned about. The whole and the sum of its parts. Here's the whole. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. And so, when we look at the material creation, we see the stars at night, Do we just see pinpoints of light? Or do we see the power of God, the wisdom of God, the divine nature of God, the everlasting power of God? If we see the everlasting power of God in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all that is made, and all of the things that God has allowed us to take dominion over, we're never going to be afraid. We're never going to be anxious. We're not going to worry. And if we're put into a tough spot, we're going to stand with God. If persecution should start up again and we're drawing from all of these sources, we're going to be confident and bold because our God has done these things. The problem is, if we don't consider your heavens, the moon and the stars. And you know, we have a serious problem with this because of evolution, the Big Bang, and the continual influence of the ungodliness of ungodly men who are trying to hide this. Remember, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who seek to hide the truth, which can't be hid. But they've done a pretty good job. And even among members of the Lord's church, some have accepted this evolutionary concept. If we're wise, it's time to assess. How much of this am I doing? If my weakness is coming because my eyes aren't open, then I need to wake up. I need to be stop being so self-absorbed. If I'm focusing on my problems, on my anxieties, on my needs, on the terrible things that are going on in the world, and I don't look up and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and when I turn on my appliances, I don't see the dominion that God has given to me, and the realization that just like the birds and the grass and the flowers, everything around us has been designed to give us confidence and boldness. And Jesus said, you just have a little faith. If you can't do that with the birds and the grass and the lilies, let alone with electricity and natural gas, let alone with the sun, the moon, and the stars, let alone with all of the multitude of other things, and we haven't even gotten to the supernatural interventions yet, most of these people had everything they needed. You know, Abraham didn't have any written word. Where did he get the confidence? Could he look back on? No, he was the first one. God hadn't done anything of a supernatural nature yet. Now, he'd sent a flood. He'd changed the languages. But Abraham's unwavering confidence in God came because he knew his everlasting power, because he could see it in the things that are made. And so some of us are torn in two directions, but here's what God said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's exactly what I think. Every time I see a program where somebody says nature has done this, or anytime I hear someone say this is billions of years old, I just shake my head and laugh. I'm just not going to let it in. I'm not going to give any credence to it at all. Only foolish people talk like this. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And that's the foundation of the conviction that led Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace where God got them out. And that is the next step, which we'll talk about next week. But how many examples do we already have of God intervening and doing? You say, well, God doesn't perform miracles today. Well, of course he doesn't. But that doesn't limit his power. He doesn't have to do it with a miraculous means. He can do it with natural means. We capture this in one of our songs. And again, I hope this is vibrating. I hope this is something we all understand, we all realize, but this week we really need to open our eyes and ask ourselves, is this what I'm doing? Am I following my Lord's command? to look at the lilies, to look at the birds and the grass. And Paul's command, or Paul's revelation, that we can see the everlasting power of God and his divine nature through the things that are made. Are we looking? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We talk about reading the Word of God all the time. But when's the last time we reminded ourselves, I'm also supposed to look at the birds and the lilies? Those are commands from Jesus. Which means I'm supposed to take the things that are made and make applications from them and strengthen my faith and get rid of my anxieties based on this power of God. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears. Maybe that's the problem. Remember what God said? You've closed your ears, lest you should understand with your heart. To my listening ears, all nature sings. I don't just look at the birds. I look at the animals. I look at the sun, the moon, and the stars. I look at physics and chemistry. I look at man's abilities to take dominion. What we're doing in biology, what we're doing with plants, what we're doing with medical science. These are all things God gave us, and I can't help but glorify and praise and feel a sense of power in every one of them. There's nothing that exists, whether man has modified it or whether God has made it so that man can't even touch it. It all does the same thing. That's the music of the spheres. That's what he talked about in Romans chapter 1. And in Psalms chapter 8. This song is just based on what the scriptures teach. This is a man or a woman, I'm not sure who wrote it, but whoever wrote this song, they understood what we're talking about here. And as I say, I've sung this song for years, but I've never made the application of what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. And what the psalmist did with the sun, the moon, and the stars, and our ability to take dominion. And Paul did, and realize we don't have anything to be afraid of. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm not saying so what, but I'm saying we don't have to be afraid. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks, and trees, and skies, and seas. Sunrises and sunsets are a wonderful time for me to glorify and praise God for his artistic genius. He has painted pictures beyond anything that any artist has ever been able to do. And I'm listening. And I'm watching. Because of that, I'm reaching and you're reaching to a level where what David did makes sense. I don't know if I could have stood before Goliath. But if I saw all of this, I could have. This is my Father's world. Now here, directly from the Sermon on the Mount, the birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. When we see something beautiful, we praise God. Our heart exults, and we are so grateful that we are serving a God of everlasting power and divinity. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Now, we sing this song, but can we make melody? Are we really doing this? Are we living our lives with our eyes open to the glory, the majesty, the everlasting power, and Godhead? Brethren, there's a lot of faith to be had, even before we open the scriptures, even before we see the miracles. And many of us, the Bible is just an outgrowth of the faith we already had Because instinctively, like the scripture says, there's no excuse. You can't look at the material creation and not see this unless your heart's hardened. Jesus talks about a hardened heart several times to his apostles. So nothing we possess was made without God's power and wisdom. Yes, we string wires from a dam to our home. But you know, we're only using what God created for us, so we need to make that application. Every time you flip on the switch, you should be praising God, not man. We just finally figured out what God put here in the beginning. We didn't do anything. We didn't make anything that wasn't already here. Everything that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word, as what is what John says in John chapter 1. All things were made through Him, and nothing was made that has been made without Him. So who do we praise and glorify and honor as we enjoy these things? They weren't made by us. And we are foolish indeed if they bring pride or arrogance or folly into our hearts. The devices in our homes are made from God's materials. It all came through Him, for Him, and unto Him. And brethren, we are missing out on an amazing opportunity to be grateful to God as you're driving down the road in an air-conditioned car with a radio on and saying to yourself, our God is so great. And if we condition ourselves like this, we become so confident that when we get to the promises of God, they're no-brainers. They're simple. Of course God could give me wisdom abundantly. Look at all the other things He did. He's the one who made my mind in the beginning. He can certainly give me more wisdom if I pray for it. I don't have to doubt about that. He that doubts is like the surge of the sea. And let not that kind of a man think that he should receive anything from the Lord. Well, it's not just doubting the promises. It's doubting the fabric of the universe, the music of the spheres. If we forget that, the cares of the world and the desire for such things, and it will lead to choking even the Word. The Word's power is totally separate from this. And that's why I wanted to start with this lesson. Because we have several sources that this confidence comes from. Things made to create gratitude, adoration, and praise should not be allowed to become the wedge that drives us away. But that's what Satan delights in. Satan would delight in you getting so enamored with your toys that you forget Him. Instead of being so grateful for your toys that you praise and glorify Him and keep them in their proper realm. Power brings boldness and confidence in the material realm. We have the tools and we know how to use them. We're not afraid, no matter how tough the job is. We know we can do it. It's just one more step that might have to be done. Abraham never wavered because he saw God's power. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace because they knew God can get us out of this. He has the power. Now, He may or may not choose to use it for you, King, but He will get us out. Our souls are going to be safe in Hades. And we don't have anything to worry about. And we're not going to worry about it, Lord. Or we're not going to worry about it, Nebuchadnezzar. So we have this great cloud of witnesses. We just have to look at them. We just have to make the application. It's everywhere. When you go home today, think about it. As you turn on your radio or as you turn on your air conditioning or as you get home and turn on your lights, think about it. There's a parable in electricity about the omnipotent power of God, and if we will allow that parable to grow and blossom in our minds, we're going to be amazed at how much confidence we feel and how much strength we have. It's just like Jesus said, look at the birds. Look at the grass, look at the lilies, and all your anxieties will go away. Now, you may say, well, that's a pretty big stretch. I look at the birds and I'm not anxious anymore. No, it's a pretty simple process. We just have to learn how to do it. As always, brethren, I hope that this lesson was totally unnecessary. I hope that all I've done today is remind you of things you've been doing for many years. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we did do it and we stopped. Sometimes we've never done it. For those of you in the audience today who need to repent and ask God for forgiveness because you haven't been doing these things, that's what this time is for reflection. We're going to sing the song of invitation, Is Your Heart Right with God? And normally we think about sin, but isn't it a sin to accept all of the wonderful things that God has given to us and never praise Him and thank Him and honor and adore and become enlightened and powered by them as Jesus and the apostles and many of the Psalms reveal to us? So as we sing this song, let's consider very carefully our fears, doubts, our dreads, and let's see if we can't get rid of them so that we're prepared for whatever comes. At this time, if there's anyone in the audience who recognizes that they have a need to make their life right with God, maybe you haven't been baptized into Christ yet, or perhaps you sinned and brought reproach on the Lord and His people, or you just want to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we now together stand and sing.